I was getting my hand stitched up in the ER last night when a series of rapid beeps sounded on the intercom, followed by an announcement of ABD Code A Bay 1. Every doctor and nurse in the area stopped what they were doing and rushed to the main ER entrance. They got there just in time to meet the ambulances. I couldn't see anything, so I waited. I figured there had to have been a serious accident. My phone rang. It was Lucy, my wife. She asked how my hand was, and I told her that they were still stitching it up. I apologized for getting blood all over her bagel. She laughed and reminded me that she'd told me not to cut it that way. There was a pause while Lucy answered one of the kids' questions in the background. Then she came back on the line and asked if I saw that really bright light about a half hour ago. I didn't know what she was talking about. So she went on. It was crazy bright. The whole sky was this weird pastel pink color. Then it turned white. It almost hurt to look at. It was so bright. Huh. Maybe it was a UFO. I craned my neck to see over the mass of people still huddled by the ambulance bay. Still nothing. Lucy laughed. Yeah, must have been aliens, she said. She said something to one of the kids again, then came back on the line. Okay, I'm gonna go. Joey said that he's about to throw up. I said goodbye and ended the call. The commotion on the other end of the ER was growing as more people from other parts of the hospital arrived. Something smelled terrible. I covered my nose and mouth with my shirt and stood up. I walked over to the window so that I could get a better look at what was happening. The crowd had thinned slightly. I saw a few nurses running off, probably to pick up supplies. At the end of the hall, there were two gurneys with medical personnel hovering over them. The smell got worse, and I gagged inside of my shirt. One of the gurneys began to move as someone pushed it down the hall. I stood in the doorway and watched. As the victim came into view, my eyes widened. It was a young woman, covered from head to toe in what I could only describe as bubbles. Some were as small as a pea. Others were the size of a grapefruit. They all throbbed and pulsated from some sort of pressure inside them, and every so often, one would tear open and weep yellow fluid onto the gurney. The smell was overwhelming. They pushed her into the room next to mine. I could see everything from the window in the wall. I didn't bother to close the curtains. I heard the other gurneys being pushed by and glanced over at it. A girl, maybe 12 or 13. I shuddered. I directed my gaze back at the person in the adjacent room. The doctors were popping bubbles to insert an IV. Fluid oozed onto the floor as I used every bit of self-control I could muster to avoid throwing up. The woman's eyes were wide and darted back and forth. It was an expression of terror, terror and agony. As if sensing my stare, a thin stalk slid from the center of her left eye. The doctor shouted and backed up. The stalk elongated a little over a foot, and it grew a bubble of its own. The bubble expanded, and the weight caused the stalk to droop. When it was the size of an orange, it stopped growing. It hung like an obscene fruit. There was a yell from the room where they'd brought the other victim. I assumed it was for the same reason. On the other side of the window, more stalks emerged in a cluster from the other woman's eye. All of them produced bubbles like a bunch of grapes. My phone beeped. It was a text from Lucy. Can you go outside? It's that light again. As if on cue, every light in the hospital went out. The emergency lights clicked on for half a second. Then they were dead. There was nothing. nothing but the stream of pink light coming in from the open ambulance bay doors. I stepped in the hall and asked, to no one in particular, what was happening. I doubt anyone heard me because the light shifted from pink to white, accompanied by a blast of noise I could only describe as static. It caused me to clasp my hands to my ears and retreat back into the room where I cowered in the corner. I saw shadows passing in front of the white light reflecting off the floor. Bizarrely shaped shadows. They moved in a way that was both jerky and fluid, like jelly suspended on bone. The shadows darkened as whatever was making them got closer. Doctors and nurses in the next room shrieked, and then there was a flash that silenced them. And then 2 feet away in the hall, harshly illuminated from the back by the piercing white light, I saw it. My initial thought of jelly suspended on bone wasn't very far off. 6 ossified tubes carried heavy segmented portions of sloshing, semi-transparent sacks. The first thing that came to mind was the body of a jellyfish. Bubbles and waving stalks decorated the entirety of its trunk as it walked by, either not noticing me or not caring about my presence. It reached the room of the other victim. Just like before, there was a scream, a flash of light, and silence. The light outside went dark. The sound stopped. The emergency light in the hospital clicked on. I scrambled to my feet and looked through the window at the room next to me. The doctors were writhing on the ground with burns on their exposed skin. The burns, they didn't look life-threatening. But the woman on the gurney was gone. Nothing was left but the sticky yellow fluid on the floor. "Hey, what the fuck was that?" I yelled and banged on the window. The person who'd been stitching me up got off the floor, came back into the room and asked me to sit down so that he could finish. A nasty burn on the bridge of his nose wept tears of lymphatic fluid down his mouth and chin. ABD code, he said. Abduction. We've trained for them, but it's the first one I've ever saw. They're not supposed to come back from the abductees, though. I wonder why they did that. I sputtered and asked, you people have dealt with this? How is it this going to be on the front page of every paper? You forget about it in a couple of hours. Everyone will. Better write down what you remember so that you can tell your friends. You'll recall something happening, but you won't remember what it was. I looked at him, stupefied. So how could you train for something like that, and how do you know it was your first one if you can't remember? He shrugged. It's just what I was told. And good point about that other thing. He paused, and I saw a series of nearly invisible, faded scars around his hairline. He smiled and nodded. Very good point.